Hello, everybody. This is Ellen Lakand on the Poker Divas Show. And welcome to everybody. For those of you who are new listeners, the Poker Divas Show is not about how to play poker. It is about how the game strategy can enhance your professional and your personal life. Now, you may not even realize it, but you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards, because you actually play it metaphorically every day. You know, poker is about reading other people. It's about understanding people's motivations, gathering information and making good decisions based on that information, dealing with a bully, whether it's at the poker table or the conference table, and most importantly, playing to win as opposed to avoid losing, which is a very important distinction, which we'll talk about on future shows. But it's something that everyone does every day, even if they're not playing cards. And this show is certainly not only for women. In fact, we welcome everybody to come and listen as we explore the gender dynamic a lot, because it's very real and it's very relevant in business. And today's show is about taking your seat at the table, whether it's at the poker table or the conference table. You need to get in there whether or not it's comfortable for you. I remember being uncomfortable both at the poker table and the conference table so many times, but you just keep doing it over and over and over, and eventually it starts to get easier for you. And, you know, it's hard to believe, but many businesses are still boys' club, just like poker is a boys' club. And slowly that will change, but in the meantime, it's something that if you're not comfortable with, you need to sort of fake it till you make it and get comfortable with. And I'm not sure if it's harder to be one in a small group. You know, sometimes there's 10 people in the room and you're the only female or minority, whatever it may be. And sometimes there's five or six in a larger group. But don't let that throw you off your game, whether it's in poker or your business ambition too. Even if you feel like the token female, move past it and push forward with your agenda. You know, it's okay right now if you're the token. Take advantage of it. Speak up. Be heard. And, you know, on the other side of it, I can tell you that men aren't always comfortable either that you're there, although for different reasons. But just know you have the right to be there. You have the right to speak up. And most importantly, you have the right and the need to be heard. You know, in poker, we say being the better. And that's what makes you heard. That's what makes you speak up. So today I'm excited to have a guest, Jennifer Brown, who's an award-winning entrepreneur and diversity and inclusion expert. And we're going to talk about some important areas in this arena. We're going to talk about how to show your power and authority at the table or in the room, why ambition is judged more harshly in women, which we know that it is, the impact of the likability factor, which is very interesting, especially for women, and how women can bluff more when it comes to money and promotion to get more of both. And lastly, why women often try to emulate men, but we don't find it the other way around. So I want to welcome Jennifer. Hi, Jennifer. So glad you could be on the show.
Hey, Ellen. Thanks for having me. I'm so excited about this conversation.
Oh, good. So before we start talking, I just want to tell everybody a little bit about Jennifer. She's the founder, president, and CEO of Jennifer Brown Consulting, which is a strategic leadership and diversity consulting firm which coaches business leaders worldwide on critical issues of talent and workplace strategy. And Jennifer is a passionate advocate for social equality, who helps businesses foster healthier, more productive workplace cultures. She has over a decade of experience consulting for the Fortune 500, including Toyota and Starbucks and Capital One. She's appeared in leading media outlets such as the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, Forbes. She's been named Social Entrepreneur by Norbo. She was a finalist in the Wells Fargo Business Owner of the Year Award. A top 40 outstanding woman by Stonewall Community Foundation. I mean, she's really got amazing credentials. And her first book, which is Diversity, the New Workplace and the Will to Change, will inspire you. You need to read it. It will inspire you to embrace the opportunity that diversity represents and empowers advocates to drive change that really resonates in today's world. And Jennifer's also working on her second book, which is due out later, I think it's next year, which we'll talk about later. So you've been busy, Jen, right?
Yeah, I've got a few things going on. There's a lot of work to be done, and this is there's never been a more important time for the message. So I'm very grateful for that.
Yeah, it is a very important time. And you've always been passionate about diversity and inclusion. So knowing that it's a hot topic right now, what are some of the key challenges you see in the workforce as it becomes more diverse?
Yeah, there are many. So workforce leadership, I'd say, to start with, it varies so much from company to company, whether or not they are enthusiastic about this whole concept or whether they have their head in the sand and are hoping, you know, that the whole diversity topic, you know, is just a fad or is in the headlines right now because of Me Too, but eventually will sort of recede. And then we have companies who are really very involved and really committed and walking the talk. And so really, workplace cultures vary, and being a woman in these cultures, our experience day to day is really impacted by the kind of messages we hear, the kind of leadership we see and that we have in the company, and obviously by our colleagues every single day and our managers, whoever we report to. At that sort of local level, it also very much matters whether, you know, women and other diverse talent is seen and heard. So very much of all of this depends on the tone in our anybody's given workplace.
Yeah, it is important to get, you know, have the support of upper management and to really, talk the talk, to walk the talk, so to speak, because it's not just about having numbers. It's about actually executing and making people feel included. And so once a minority, whether it be a woman or any other minority, is finally arriving at the table, how should they go about showing their power and authority once they get there?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this is where part of it is how we get in our own way, of course, but mm-hmm. but much of it is systemic also, so it happens to us. And this is why we need, you know, allies, and we'll talk about the importance of male allies, because if men have more power relatively, anyone with power right now really needs to help by tackling the systemic inequality that causes all the problems downstream for underrepresented talent. But in terms of the way that we can show up differently, you know, Lean In started the dialogue in a really important way about taking charge of your career, being owning your ambition, and playing the game. And it is, if it's a sort of more male normative game that we're learning to play, mm-hmm. We do need to make sure we're at that table, that we're engaging, that we are building our support networks, whether that's mentors and sponsors that can play our card, if you will, when we're not in the room. Mm-hmm. And we do need to be aware of the ways that we hold ourselves back as women. I'll just name a few, Ellen.
Yes, please do.
It's been documented that, women will only go for a stretch assignment or a new position or submit their resume for something that they feel they are, like, almost 100% qualified for, meaning that I've done all these things before so I can vouch for myself being able to do them. And we chuckle, but it's really sad that, men given the same situation will say, oh, I have a few of the qualifications, but I can give this a shot. I can make it work. So just literally the way that I like to think of this as like sort of really high integrity about our qualifications for something, and we want to make sure we can back things up. And I know that probably comes from being doubted in terms of our ability to perform, and so we want to make sure we can guarantee our ability to perform. But wherever it comes from, it really hurts us because when we are competing for jobs with people who think they can do the job, even if maybe they've never done it before, we're going to lose. So we need to really show up powerfully. We need to stretch ourselves and our confidence about what we can do, even if we've not done it before. And also, I think that, there's some other really interesting things that are happening, like I think 11 states now prohibit the discussion of salary history in job interviews. And how that helps women and minorities, of course, is that many of us are carrying a pay gap. Every single time we transition roles, we carry that gap with us, and it becomes larger and larger. And, you know, many people have studied, you know, that that gap widens to the point where it could be $500,000 to $1 million of lost salary income over the course of a lifetime between men and women, say. And then it's similar with white versus ethnic minorities. So, you know, I think that, that while you may not feel like you can not discuss salary history, bias is so strong around salary history that it actually hurts us to share it because then it kicks in all of the biases of the interviewer, all the other things that happen in that really important moment when we're in that interview, when we're being evaluated, et cetera. So just to be aware that, like, when you notice these things happening, you should know that there's research that backs it up, and you should really know the research. And when you go in and you manage your career, you should know, you should understand how women fall behind, you know, how we don't get paid as much, how we are under-mentored, and we don't have as many people playing on our behalf, and we don't even know how to ask for that.
All right, so how, support. So Jennifer,
because
how
we're
do
never
we?
Taught. So there's some things that we can do differently.
What's something that somebody could do today if they wanted to, if they found themselves in that position? What's something that they could do right now?
I say challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to apply for roles that are stretches for you. And if you notice that you're feeling uncomfortable, just notice it. Don't let that keep you from stretching yourself. And that could be a promotion. It could be opportunity within where you work. For me, as an independent entrepreneur, it might mean going for a really big client, you know, or saying, hey, I've never bid on an RFP that big, but I'm going to give it a shot. Really carrying that mojo and that confidence is really half the battle. I mean, people will believe strength when they feel it and they see it, and they'll believe power. And I think we have to get better at sort of projecting that. I also think that you can't do all of this alone, and you're not even going to know about big opportunities if you're not kind of on the inside. Mm-hmm. And that is historically where we don't even know about the opportunity because we're not in the casual conversations where those opportunities are handed around, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I would challenge.
Yeah, I want to talk more about that, Jen. We need to go to break now. And when we come back, we'll talk more about how women can know about these opportunities and how the genders are judged differently based on their ambition. So stay tuned to Poker Divas. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Who do you want to connect with?
Are you an entrepreneur or intrapreneur looking to build your following?
Welcome to our show.
Follow Me Friday with Joan
and Priya.
Tune in every Friday at noon Eastern
on talkradio.nyc.
We're your digital connectors.
Woo! Woo!
What's that?
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. This is Ellen Lakend on the Poker Diva Show, and today we're talking about taking your rightful seat at the table. We're excited to have Jennifer Brown, author and CEO of Jennifer Brown Consulting, on the line with us. Now, Jen, just going back to what we were talking about before the break, you brought up a very interesting phenomenon, and that is, you know, women have to ask for open positions and opportunity, but often they don't even know that they exist. And this is something that we talk about a lot at our Poker Diva events, because there's, you know, a lot of opportunity is brought about informally. It's not always very formal. And that's why relationships are so critical. You know, being smart is great, but being smart is only going to get you so far. And, you know, in fact, we when we do a women's event, we were working with a law firm, and they had a partners meeting, and after the event, they said, you know, there's been a poker game going on for the last 10 years, and we never knew about it, and now we're invited. So, you know, that's one example of the importance of, you know, being not only on the inside, but on the outside, but on the inside, so you have that information. And that's why, you know, that's why poker is such a tremendous networking opportunities. And there's a lot of other networking opportunities in companies in a way that people can get into that inside track. Can you give us a few examples of that, Jen?
Yeah, sure. So we talk about, you know, how informal or social or recreational activities, where they happen. Do they happen in bars? Do they happen after work hours? Do they happen over the weekend relating to sports events? You know, do they work for parents, you know, with child care responsibilities? A lot of these, the timing of these get-togethers where a lot of these informal conversations, Ellen, are going on, where opportunities are shared, mm-hmm. are opportunities that we're just not invited to or literally don't work with our lives. And so when we challenge particularly male leaders around, like, notice how and when you set these up and how you participate in this unwittingly, which actually sort of hurts your ability to include, you know, women and anybody who is not able to hang out in this way. And, you know, when you sit there and complain about, oh, we can't find any women for this opportunity or to interview for this position, you have to be honest and examine your social behavior. And also be truthful with yourself about where do we talk about these kinds of opportunities? You know, who knows about them? Am I being proactive in terms of, you know, broadening my network and holding myself accountable to enabling others to feel comfortable and to come along? And so that's what I think that people that hold the keys to a lot of the assets should do. And then for anybody that's on the outside of this, of course, you know, I say either pull up the folding chair, like Shirley Chisholm says, if you're not invited to the table, pull up a folding chair, yeah. Get your own chair.
Yep, yep.
Sometimes that's, you know, easy or hard. Or we should have our own table. You know, I think women need to be very cognizant of how we gather and how we share opportunities with each other and how we enrich each other and make connections for each other in many of the same ways that I think men have historically done that for each other without even thinking about it. You know, there are certain things that I think we should be emulating about how business is done that I don't see us doing as often. And I do believe it's very important to have that currency between us as women.
And how do you think we can improve on that? I mean, we know, we've talked on this show before about how women are not as good asking other women for business. They don't really like to do that. And there's studies that have shown that. How do we get past that?
Well, we have to do more of that, more fearlessly and in our own authentic way. You know, I don't think there's a playbook to be followed, and we certainly don't want to become carbon copies of, you know, how we see it playing out in other genders. But I do think that it's a skill, and, you know, if you can find some women around you that want to do business together and want to enable each other, you can start there. You know, we're out there. You know, we are, a lot of us work for ourselves, and our lifeblood is opportunities and referrals and all of that. I would say watch out for being too, I think women in particular are very, almost perfectionistic about how they make connections. They don't do it maybe quickly. Like, everything is very, very thoughtful. And rightly so, because when you're binding your reputation up with someone else, it matters. And that is your reputation. It's your brand. You know, how who you are associated with is everything. But the speed of business and the ability to rapidly share opportunities in a less perfect way is the way that I've observed the other gender doing business. It's how they roll.
Right.
And it's more easy come, easy go. And it's kind of the nature of business is making connections all the time, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I find myself, if I hesitate to utilize my network on behalf of someone else, I stop and I think about how much of that is my own self-limitations. I challenge myself to be quicker and more generous. And I also notice who's asking me for help and how can I be very intentional about sharing my network with those who can benefit from it most versus mm-hmm. the squeaky wheel that may want my help. You know, and it's not an accident that I think, you know, women and others who've been traditionally like marginalized are not as good at asking directly for that help. So
right.
I think it's a two-way street that we have to be very aware of. Like, watch how it occurs. And I would recommend all listeners to really, you know, don't take the path that you've always taken or that you see your gender taking, but really try to, you know, jump into the fray and exchange, because that is the marketplace.
And do you think this is an issue because ambition is really judged differently based on gender? And, you know,
I do. I hate to say it, Ellen. It's such a double standard. You know, the likability factor is like, you know, reverse correlated to ambition. So more ambitious a woman is, the less likable she is. And that's not just by men, it's by women as well. And so, you know, that is a deep psychological truth, sadly, that we all need to examine and challenge. And the more of us that show up as powerful, ambitious women that are, you know, that are likable or whatever we are, you know, I think showing up in our truth can really shift, you know, the outcomes, particularly for younger women and younger men that are looking up and seeing, you know, what does female leadership look like? What does a leader look like who happens to be a woman? Even when we say things like women's leadership, it makes it sound like it's different than good leadership, you know. And I think, you know, we just need way more examples of this. And I try to not be apologetic about my ambition. You know, I try to be more open mm-hmm. about what I want and how big I think I could be as a brand, and that I'm capable of more, that I want more. And, you know, I always make sure that I ask questions, how can I help you? And here's what kind of help I'm looking for. So I very much try to be specific with everyone I meet. And it's a muscle that I have tried to build. And I think we get better with practice.
Right. I think that's key. I think whether you're playing, you know, poker or you're doing business, you definitely get better with practice and doing it, even if you're not comfortable doing it. And, you know, is there science behind the likability factor?
You know, there is. And I would, you know, on the next break, I'm going to find exactly where you can read more about it. If you Google it, you'll see there's a lot of different think tanks that have studied it. I can't overstate how important it is to watch out for that trap. But I also want your listeners to know that it's a rampant phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
I think there are so many double standards that not just women, but any minority talent, as you're trying to move up the career ladder and be more powerful, own your knowledge, push your career. The more you do that, the more risk you have of being judged as being too pushy, too aggressive. And this happens to people of color as well. You know, I have friends who share with me that they need to play smaller in order to make other people more comfortable with their presence because of those harmful stereotypes that are going on around them. And it breaks my heart, and it's not fair. And yet, we are still dealing with a lot of headwinds that are, you know, coming at some of us and not at others. So, you know, and I think what this means is that you do need the help of others to champion your cause, to stand up for you.
Yes.
Because we're still dealing with all of these double standards. To me, it means we've got to navigate our support network. We've got to activate our champions, on our behalf, and we may need a little extra help in terms of you know, putting our name in for something, you know, so that it's not always that we are the squeaky wheel, because it can be tricky in terms of the perception of you. And I hate to say that, mm-hmm. but it's a reality. And I think we just need to be more strategic in terms of how we navigate these waters. Otherwise, we're just going to get shut out. And being shut out is what you really don't want.
Right.
You've got to kind of play the game, but you've got to have an extra lens on everything that you choose to do.
Mm-hmm. Now, do you see a difference between the way millennials manage this as opposed to, you know, those with more experience in the workforce?
I do. I think they are, well, they've got, a lot of them have helicopter parents, which I think is really interesting, which I did not do. Nobody in my generation had parents that really knew what the heck was going on, let alone were calling to negotiate our salaries. But I'm not joking.
Is that true? Is that what's happening?
Yeah.
They're negotiating their salaries?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's companies crazy. That I work with have parents receptions and weekends. You know, invite your whole family. Because remember, millennials, many of them are really close to their parents.
Yeah.
They believe their parents are their best friends. And such a different relationship maybe than you and I had, Ellen.
Yeah.
And so companies understand that, you know, they are talking to the whole family, and that a parent's opinion may matter, because remember, these parents are the executives of the world. I mean, their moms in particular could be career women with a ton of years under their belt. Like, they know how all this works, so they're not going to let their kid be taken advantage of. And this, of course, is like a totally privileged example. Like, it's certainly a corporate example. It's an example in a white collar workplace, I'd say, or white collar job, but yeah. I do think it's indicative of the guidance that this generation has gotten from working parents of both genders. You know, I think is a fundamental difference. So they're going to know what they're looking at. They expect to be included, I think, and really embraced for more of who they are. And I think they've got that whether it's self assurance or, you know, knowledge of how maybe the workforce is going to unfairly treat them based on maybe their mom's experience. So I think they've got a lot more data and are going in with eyes wide open and saying, you know, I want to be seen and heard. I want those opportunities, you know, and people make fun and laugh, but I think all of us wanted to be treated in that way when we entered the workplace, but our generations didn't have the generational might, the numbers on our side. You didn't have the helicopter parents.
Mm-hmm.
And we felt, you know, we really didn't have a lot of choices. And so I think those are really big differences. And I personally welcome that conversation that they're bringing.
No, it's great that they're bringing that conversation. And when they don't get the response that they're looking for, they are excluded. Are they more likely to take action?
Yeah, I think word really travels fast with that generation, right? They're all technologically equipped to such a new level. And there's really no such thing as, you know, inside the four walls of a company or an organization and what's outside. You know, all of those boundaries are blurring.
Yeah.
And I do think that there's an accountability coming from younger talent for companies to walk the talk, meaning, do they mean what they say? Are they committed? In my case, what I look at is their commitment to inclusion and corporate social responsibility and being a good citizen in the world. Their young talent prizes these things. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't take them long to look around a workplace and say, wow, I'm the only one that looks like me, you know, or there's no right. women on the board, or I don't see any leaders of color who are at the executive level, or why is everyone closeted with mm-hmm. LGBTQ at this company? And they're asking those questions, and they're surmising, well, maybe there's not a place for me here. And this is a major problem of retention for companies that they should be very worried about.
Yes. No, these people,
you know,
leave.
I spend
they
all
leave.
This money to recruit all the best right. and brightest talent, and what if I can't keep them because my culture doesn't enable people to feel supported right. in everything that they are? So I do think it can turn into a revolving door.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if the economy is good, you know, then it becomes even more of a pressing issue, right? Because the war for talent is accelerating. So at this particular moment, I think, but at every moment, I think it's very critical for employers to really, really pay attention, want to know why people stay and leave, and where is that trust breaking? between them and this new generation, which, by the way, millennials are now the dominant work. They're the dominant demographic in the workforce. I think that we just crossed over that, I think, last year. So, you know, these are our leaders, not just of the future, but of today.
Of today, yeah. And, all right, Jen, we're going to...
They want to see diversity.
I want to talk more about this. We're going to go to break, and when we come back, we'll explore this further and also take a closer look at why women don't bluff as much as men when it comes to money and promotion. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin, together we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
Talking Alternative Radio, 24 hours a day.
Welcome back. This is Ellen Lakend on the Poker Diva Show, and today we are talking about taking your rightful seat at the table with Jennifer Brown, two-time author and CEO of Jennifer Brown Consulting. And, you know, we talked a little bit about this before the break, but I think it bears bringing up again. You know, when you play poker, there's a lot of skill involved, but luck does come into play. You're just not going to get a good enough good hands to win a tournament. So you need to learn how to bluff. Now bluffing in business is also something you need to do, although not quite to the same extreme in poker. I mean, in poker, you're bluffing people to really deceive them, and I'm not suggesting that. But you really do need to know how to bluff a little bit, whether it comes to, you know, asking for a job, looking at the qualifications you have. And, you know, Jen brought this up before, and we've talked about this on the show before, that you know, women will not apply for a job unless they have 80 to 100% of the qualifications. And you know, men don't really care, you know, if they have less than half. So, you know, Jen, from your experience working with women, why do you think they're so reluctant to do it? Do you think that it's our conditioning, our wiring, our fear of not being liked? What is holding women back from having this little bit of bluff in them?
Well, I think if you perceive that there are fewer opportunities for you anyway, because you don't see a lot of or any role models that look like you ahead of you in your journey, you know, I think that would lead all of us to hesitate and to maybe perhaps play it safe. You know, when you don't feel a sense that you have a strong foundation and that, you know, you're going to, you know, bend but not break, and you're going to be resilient and come back to, you know, fight again. And, oh, if I don't get this opportunity, there'll be another one right after it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's not a reality for a lot of us. You know, we feel that we have one shot. You know, when we can actually get to that table, the proverbial table, we just don't have the practice under our belts. And we also don't have the support. You know, we know that we come into that interaction and there are going to be biases that are applied to us that are not fair. you know, about our capabilities, you know, about our knowledge. just think, like, we laugh, we talk about mansplaining, and mansplaining lately, as of late, has been really defined for us. But the assumption of not having knowledge when you're sitting right there and you have the knowledge, you know, and there's just so many little things in big ways that we are, we can take it very personally when we are on the receiving end of a lot of these assumptions about our ambition, our capabilities, our ability to do a job, our executive presence, which is continually, I think, questioned, you know, it's she really like enough of a leader to take on this assignment, you know, and then you add the parenting penalties, the motherhood penalty versus the fatherhood bonus. There are a lot of pitfalls around us when we finally are ready to have those conversations and go for that opportunity. So if you're aware of all those things, it can be rather paralyzing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I do think knowledge is power though, but, and I don't want people to listen to this and say, I don't even know how I can get out of bed in the morning. But I do think things are real. We have to be aware of them. And then we have to make a plan to counteract them in every case. Like, see it when it's happening. Don't give in to it. Don't lose confidence because of it. You know, get your support when you need it. Have your sounding board so that you don't deal with this alone mm-hmm. or in isolation or think that maybe you're imagining things. And really, like, you know, push through it, because we need more women pushing through these things. We can't give in to them, even though they're around us all the time.
All right. So you bring up an interesting point. So what can somebody, can you give us an example of what somebody can actually do when you're in a meeting and somebody either interrupts you or steals your ideas? What should you do at that moment if that hasn't happened to anybody out there?
Oh, I know. Yes, it happens. ideas are stolen and passed off as someone else's.
Yeah.
It's one of the things we notice a lot. Meetings, by the way, are kind of ground zero for inclusion and exclusion dynamics. So they are... You could read a whole book on them in terms of biased behavior. So you bring up one, which is not being credited for an idea, also being interrupted, also being asked to take notes at the meeting. It just goes on and on. I think, you know, the Obama cabinet story is one of my favorite ways to illustrate this. Some women in Obama's cabinet really felt like they were being talked over, not given their due. And so they pre-planned to go into the meetings to back each other up.
Mm.
And in the meetings, it sounded like one woman interrupting on behalf of another woman and saying, well, I'm not sure Jane was finished with that thought. Or saying, you know, as Jane pointed out, or as Sarah, you know, brought to the conversation. So giving credit. It's really literally having each other's backs and kind of resuming the power position in the group dynamic.
Yeah.
And that's one way of doing it. If you have solidarity with others and you can think about how you can stop the dynamic as a group, then, you know, I always say many hands makes light work.
Right.
I also think, though, that there's responsibility for the men in the room to be aware that they need feedback that they're doing this. And ideally, this feedback comes ideally from another man because, you know, people are listened to differently. And if you're the one bringing up things all the time, you risk being written off after a while. And so that's why I said earlier before the break, Ellen, like, we've got to be creative about how we get our message across. We don't always have to be the messenger of that message, and we don't have to do this alone. So, you know, if you can get an ally on your side and say, you know, I always feel like I'm being interrupted in these meetings, or I never feel heard, or I can't believe that guy stole my idea. You know, could you have my back in this next meeting? And I think a lot of people would say, absolutely, like, what do I need to do? Or they'd say, I got you. Like, you don't even need to tell me what to do. I will do it.
Right.
And so I do think we just have to pause and think about, okay, is this a battle I want to fight? Do I need to fight it alone and always put myself in the firing line to change things? Who else can help me of my gender and also not of my gender? And I think if you think about that, you can bring about behavior change for the group and stand up for yourself in direct and indirect ways.
Yeah, I think that's great. And I think the idea of having a plan in place and B, having a team in place so it's not only you in advance is a really good one, because it gives you back your power. You know, by having a plan in place, it gives you back your power. And you do need men and you do need women on your team. You know, you can't have inclusion with exclusion. But I do, you know, just want to reiterate to our listeners and anybody who's been through a Poker Divas event knows this. It is very important to get everybody involved, but you are ultimately responsible for you. So you have to speak up, and if you can't do it, you have to get other people to speak up for you. But you really have to take these matters. You have to be the better. You have to be the leader here.
That's right.
You know?
That's very right. Yeah, I agree. I agree very much. And it takes each one of us to be brave. And if you feel you're not heard and you're not being heeded and your feedback is not being taken seriously, you have the option, you know, not to remain in that game, in your parlance, Ellen, or, you know, for me, yeah, in that team or working for that leader or in that company. You know, I think also we feel we don't have a lot of options, and many of us don't. And I think that's what keeps us in this place of inaction or fear.
Yeah.
Because we worry if we do stand up for ourselves, what are the consequences and can we manage those economically speaking? So, you know, I do think that the risk isn't zero of doing this, but I feel like, you know, our choices are our choices. And at the end of the day, you know, I think the business world anyway is really on your side.
Yeah.
As a woman, because we're, you know, we are starting to have honest conversations about things like mansplaining, things like, you know, unconscious bias or conscious bias in meetings. We are beginning to understand it more. So, and, you know, if you have people who focus on diversity in your organization, you've got a ready-made community of leaders that will have your back, that you can talk these things through, that you can strategize around. And I wish every company and every organization had somebody like that who is a specialist like me. But my book goes into some of this, which is called Inclusion, and is from 2016. So, Ellen, I just wanted to point people towards that, too, for some additional ideas.
Oh, and how can they get your book, Jen? Is it on Amazon?
Yes. It's on Amazon. That's probably the place I would point everybody to. And then I also have a podcast called The Will to Change, anywhere you consume your podcast. And it's called True Stories of Diversity and Inclusion, and I have all kinds of people on, authors, corporate leaders, CEOs, business owners, advocates. It's a great primer on much more about everything we've been talking about. And it goes into race and ethnicity, whiteness, LGBTQ issues, being an ally in the workplace, and everything in between. So we really do run the gamut.
Fabulous. Sounds great. You know, just before we go to break, for those people who are, you know, get frustrated by being, you know, by being spoken over or having someone steal their ideas, you have to be careful, too, that your frustration doesn't make you go on tilt. When we say in poker, it sort of messes you up and you become overly emotional about something. And I did that. I did that about 2 years ago in a meeting where somebody interrupted me and took my idea, and I just went off. Because I was in a room, nobody was supporting me, and I just went off, and it sort of shut everybody up, but mm-hmm. I'm not so sure that I got exactly what I wanted from it. So, you know,
yeah, some of us are loud when we feel, and some of us are very quiet and we don't speak up for ourselves enough. Right. So, you know, notice that about yourself too. You know, are you going to be, you know, saying things you regret? Or are you the kind of person that doesn't say enough on your own behalf, right? And I think that's important information.
Yeah, too much or too little. Okay, we are going to break now. When we come back, we're going to talk about why women try to emulate men, but we never see it happening in the reverse. Stay tuned to Poker Divas.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
The best designs for your life start at home. I'm David Thiergartner, interior designer and host of At Home. Listen live Tuesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time as we talk to the very best professionals about interior design and the design that's all around us right here on talkradio.nyc.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant. And on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
Are you feeling unhappy with your body, shape, or size? Ever feel out of control with food? I'm Elizabeth Tripp, your host of Nourish the Soul. Join me to uncover the root to these imbalances and discover a permanent solution to living a healthy life. Join us every Wednesday at my new time, 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
TalkingAlternative.com.
Welcome back. This is Ellen Likand on the Poker Diva Show. And today we are talking about taking your rightful seat at the table with two-time author Jennifer Brown, CEO of Jennifer Brown Consulting. And, you know, there's been a lot of talk about, you know, male-centric versus female-centric and how, you know, women are constantly adapting to male-centric everything, whether it be brands, whether it be events like Jen was talking about before. And something happened recently where I was doing an event for Poker Divas for a law firm, and the majority of people that were going to be coming were going to be men. And the woman in HR who was hosting the event, she said, you know, do you think people are going to, you know, men are going to come to an event from Poker Divas? And I said, we have been adapting to male-centric everything for so long. What is the big deal about them adapting to something that's female-centric? And it sort of stopped her in her feet. I don't think she was 100% convinced she was not going to get pushback, but she was ready to push back with that.
Oh, good job.
Right? Yeah. And we did it, and it worked well, and they loved it. Which is you know, it's, I like that. I like that the, you know, men feel that they can be comfortable at a Poker Divas event. And you know, women have had this, you know, to deal with this forever. So, you know, why do you think, Jen, that, you know, women try to emulate men, but we don't ever see the reverse happening?
Yeah, well, because our society, it goes kind of deep into our ideas about, you know, femininity and whatever is female being less than. And you see this hierarchy play out in so many different fields, you know. And I mean, that's a whole other longer conversation, but in leadership and in workplaces, in particular, men are hesitating to get involved in the gender conversation, I think, because, you know, they are uncomfortable. You know, it has been a man's world, and that's, of course, what they know. But at the same time, you know, workforces are changing, and women are ascending. You know, I read this interesting statistic about the men that have lost their jobs because of a Me Too incident. Many of those positions have been filled by senior women.
Wow.
And so we have this really rebalancing, this historic rebalancing that's going on. Just look at the election a couple of nights ago. To see yet another kind of big rebalance. And, you know, some people are like, okay, I'm there for the rebalancing. I'm excited to shift as a leader and be more mindful and embrace what we all bring to the table in terms of our leadership skills. And then there's others who feel threatened by that and feel that it's somehow by welcoming different kinds of leaders and leadership that it means, like, I'm not a leader anymore. And that's, you know, that zero-sum thinking. It's the win-lose, the belief, I think, that's rampant in the business world, which is the win-lose belief, meaning, you know, when I have managers who say to me, well, you know, if I extend, you know, if I hire the woman for the job, you know, and I, prefer women for certain jobs, and I'm told I'm needing to reach my diversity numbers by hiring differently, doesn't that just mean less opportunities for me? And for, is that really fair to men? And so I have to spend a lot of my time going back and forth in these kinds of discussions about, you know, am I going to have less than when all of this is done? And I think that you know, it's not a fair concern, because, you know, you could look historically and say that men helped other men inordinately. You know, they made space for them at the table. They got their friends jobs. They leveraged the, you know, their school connections and sports connections and golf clubs and, you know, everything. I mean, there hasn't been a question of that kind of permeating our organizations. But then when we do say, okay, let's hire with diversity in mind, all of a sudden everybody wants everybody to be 150% qualified.
Right.
You know, and they don't
right.
want to be told who to hire. So it's very interesting. It's a fear of change. It's the win-lose mentality. It's the sort of looking at the feminine as less than the masculine, I think, that permeates our society. And I think men also not wanting to be viewed as too feminine by partaking in women's initiatives. And I think there's the treatment that goes back and forth from man to man,
right,
is really harmful around, like, man up and what are you doing going to that meeting, or, you know, why were you at that event? It wasn't, you know, I thought it was just for women. So I think there's a lot of that goes on, where men police other men,
yeah,
not to be too feminine, not to be too involved. And, well, in the gay community, think about what we deal with every single day, which is homophobia is basically gender-based hatred and violence. So, and the gender it has in its sights is the female gender, let's be honest. So, you know, talk to a gay man about what it feels like to have, you know, the feminine, not to get too serious, but I mean, mm-hmm. it's just a very real thing in the community I happen to be in. So, I mean, this is rampant. And I think, you know, we've got the good men need to challenge that and show up in women's conversations and believe that they're important because they are, and believe that they can learn something from being there.
Yeah, they...
So I think we need to see more of that.
We do. And, you know, we know from the poker table, we one gender is more aggressive with money and embraces risk, and the other is better at reading people and is more patient and less reckless. Now, you decide who's who, but I'll tell you that both can learn both can learn from each other is the moral of that story.
Right.
So, you know,
exactly.
men can learn from women too, and that's you know, something that I think that people sometimes forget, believe it or not. It sounds, you know, so obvious, but it's, you know, women are constantly trying to acclimate and men aren't, and they help themselves professionally and personally too if they did. Now Jen, you have a new book coming out. I think is it next year? I know you just came off a tight deadline.
It's next fall. It's like August, September timeframe.
And what's that book about?
Yeah, it's going to be called How to Be an Inclusive Leader.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to lay out the steps along a journey. I believe, you know, we have to crawl before we can walk or run. And there are so many people, as I've observed, that I really wanted to write this book to demystify what actions people can take, large and small, probably small to start out with, to move out of inaction and maybe fear for some people.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's more of an unawareness of what is going on, what's shifting around us, why should I care? You know, I'm not a woman, and so, you know, gender issues don't impact me, or I don't have any responsibility for them or with them. So it helps give people a step-by-step process they can take to become more of an ally, more of an inclusive leader. And it takes them all the way to the end of the model, which is to become a real advocate.
That's great.
You know, that is, you know, when I see someone maybe at the CEO level who, like the CEO of Salesforce, if anybody knows that company, he's been tackling pay inequity.
Amazing. He's amazing.
He's been writing multi-million-dollar checks for the last couple of years to gross up pay.
He's taking action. So, yes. so Jen, you know, we only have a minute left. I just want to leave our audience with a couple of things. You know, in talking to Jen today, I think the, you know, if you walk away with a couple of actionable ideas, it's, you know, be conscious of what's happening and make a plan. Get yourself some allies and don't be afraid to self-promote. Don't be afraid to ask. You don't have to be perfect to be considered for something. And you know, get out of that comfort zone. Don't worry about whether or not you're likable, because that's their problem in most cases and not yours. So I, you know, Jen, I really want to thank you for being here. Good luck with your second book, and I hope you when you're done with that, you'll come back and talk to our audience about that.
I'd love to. Thank you.
That would be great. And thanks everybody for listening. We will be back next week. And just as a reminder to those of you, Poker Divas has a fantastic team building leadership and diversity workshop program that we can offer your companies. And it's not about gambling. As you know from listening to the show, it's about learning everything you need at the poker table to be successful at the conference table. So if you're interested in that, you can check out PokerDivas.com. And everybody, have a great rest of the week. I hope you'll tune in next week. And Jen, thank you so much again for being here.
Well, thank you, Ellen. This was a blast. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network. Are you stuck in a rut? Negative thoughts, feelings, and conversations got you down? Hi, I'm Noreen Sumter, the Potentiator. Tune in every Tuesday at 9 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time and listen for new ideas on my show, Beyond Potential, Live Life Your Way, on talkradio.nyc.
Hey, all you crazy listeners. Looking to boost your business? Why not advertise on Talking Alternative with very reasonable rates? Interested? Simply email at info@talkingalternative.com.
Do you like comic books and movies? How about TV and pop culture? Then you've come to the right place. Hi, I'm Michael Dolce, host of Secrets of the Sire. Joined every week by my co-host, Hassan, Lord of the Radio Godwin, together we have over 15 years' experience creating graphic novels, screenplays, and more. Join us as we bring you the inside scoop on the pop culture universe you love to talk about, Wednesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, talkradio.nyc.
Did you know you've been playing poker your whole life, even if you've never played a hand of cards? Hi, I'm Ellen Lakend, author of Poker Woman and host of the new show, Poker Divas. On the show, I talk about how poker strategy helps you win in business, life, and love. Tune in live every Thursday, 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network at www.talkingalternative.com. Now, broadcasting 24 hours a day. Talking Alternative.
Are you a conscious co-creator? Are you on a quest to raise your vibration and your consciousness? I'm Sam Liebowitz, your conscious consultant, and on my show, The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, we will touch upon all these topics and more. Listen live at our new time on Thursdays at 12 noon Eastern Time. That's The Conscious Consultant Hour, Awakening Humanity, Thursdays, 12 noon on talkradio.nyc.
You're listening to the Talking Alternative Network.